The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This message was delivered during Macedonia's 2017 fellowship meeting on February the 24th, 2017, during the afternoon service. Message by Elder Larry Wise, with text beginning in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 7, with a sermon regarding the power of the hand of God.
If the Lord will bless us for a few minutes, 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe I'll try to take my text from this afternoon, our subject, that we might delve into the Word of God for just a few minutes and not bring anything new to you, of course. But you know, Peter wrote these two whole epistles for one explicit purpose, and that was to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So he felt it important. It wasn't the fact that they didn't know the truth, because Peter says they did know the truth. But he wanted to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. And then he warned them in the third chapter of 2 Peter to beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. So these were steadfast children of God, but you know, there was a big warning sign put up there. It says, beware that you might be led away with the error of the wicked. So we're prone to error, to follow the crowd. As I've told the folks over at Bethany many times, you know, people have been guilty of wanting to keep up with the Joneses, that is the neighbors. They might be named Jones, or they might be named Smith or whatever. But I want to know where the Joneses are going if I'm going to keep up with the Joneses. You know, they may be going in the wrong direction. Right. I want to know where the Joneses are going. I don't want to just follow anybody this afternoon. Right. I want to follow somebody that I know where they're going to land,
right,
where they're going, because I and no telling where I might land. And we want to have good directions. Well, this is, Brother Rusty said, this is our only rule of faith and practice. We have the directions here. And if we follow the directions, we're always going to land in the same place. Now, we're not going to land in heaven because we follow the directions. We're going to land in heaven because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He's done. But certainly we can be on safe ground if we follow the directions that are in the Word of God. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says in verse 5 and 6, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our subject this afternoon is the mighty hand of God. The hand of God, and Brother Bobby talked about therefore this morning. Well, there's a therefore in this text. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Who do we be clothed? How do we be clothed, and with what? He says to be clothed with humility. That's good dress for any child of God, to be dressed up in humility. We're told in Romans 12:3, Paul says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we aren't to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Now, I don't know how high that is, but you ought to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You know, we're to esteem the other better than ourselves, the Scripture says. And not be like the Pharisee who looked and said, I thank God I'm not like other men. Fast twice in the week, give tithes of all that I possess, and certainly not like this publican over here. Well, the publican didn't return the favor. He just beat upon his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
And he was the blessed one because he went away down to his house justified rather than the other.
Amen.
And what's the point of that whole lesson? For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. And before honor is humility, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs. And the Lord humbles us down, lets us see ourselves for what we are, as a sinner saved by grace. As Elder Harmon Clark used to say, and I've heard him say it many times, just a low-down, rotten, stinking sinner. When the Lord lets us see what we are by nature, that's what we are by nature, but by His grace, then we've been brought out of that. How? Under the mighty hand of God. When you see the hand of God, you saw the hand of God right out that window. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 12, we see the hand of God in creation where He says, who had measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Meted out the heaven with a span. Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in the scales. That's the mighty hand of God. And who can stay His hand? Who can stay the hand of God? You know, Nebuchadnezzar learned that over in Daniel 4 and 35. He had to go and endure a lot to finally learn something. Because he was the one that didn't exhibit much humbleness when he said, O mighty Babylon, the kingdom whose mine hand hath made. And while the words were yet in his mouth, he told him that the kingdom had been taken from him and what he was going to experience and dwell with the beasts of the field. And to make a long story short, after he had come to himself and in his right mind there in that 35th verse, he says, the Lord doeth His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, Jehovah, what doest thou? That's the mighty hand of God. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Did you know you're an inhabitant of the earth? And you're reputed as nothing. Isaiah said, less than nothing. Elder Ricky Harker, I heard him say over at Bethany one time, what is nothing? It's a big zero. You can't get past zero. He said, well, you take a zero and knock off the ring, and that's less than nothing. He says, we're nothing less than nothing. Well, Nebuchadnezzar learned that the hard way. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's what we are outside the grace of God.
Amen.
But then what the mighty hand of God. Look at the Israelites down in Egypt's land, toiling under the taskmasters of Egypt. And God saw fit by His mighty hand to deliver them from that bondage. And He chose Moses to be that instrument by which He would say, let My people go. And when they finally was let go, they finally came to this obstacle in Exodus chapter 14, about verse 13. And Pharaoh's host was behind them and in front of them the sea. We sang that song in the number 12 book, when Moses and the Israelites from Egypt's land did flee. Behind them were proud Pharaoh's host, in front of them the sea. God raised the waters like a wall and opened up the way. And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today.
Amen.
He's just the same today. He hadn't changed. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And what did God do in that day? They begin to murmur and complain. Why did You bring us out here to die in the wilderness? And what did the Lord tell Moses to say, or Moses said to them? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see, the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For these Egyptians, you shall see them no more forever. And God told him to raise that rod and divide the sea. Well, here's a man had to act by faith. That was a big rod. You know, that was ordinary rod, but I tell you, with the Lord's mighty hand, a rod is more than a rod.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he told Moses one time, what's that you got in your hand, a rod? He said, cast it down. He cast it down, but turned into a serpent. And then he took the serpent by the tail, turned back into a rod. You know, the Lord doesn't ask us to do anything except what we got. He said, what you got in your hand, a rod? Well, the Lord used that rod to do some miraculous things, didn't he? And here was another miraculous thing. And as they saw that salvation, they through that night passage, the Lord caused a strong east wind to blow all that night. You mean it took all night? No, he could have got them across there faster, but he saw not to. There's over 1 million people coming across there. It was a night passage. And when they got across on the other side, why? Then we see the mighty hand of God. How so? Because it collapsed on the Egyptians and they were all drowned. In Exodus chapter 15, we find the first song recorded in the Bible. Yeah. And in verse 6 of that song, the Bible says, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power because thou hast dashed in pieces the enemy.
Right.
The right hand of the Lord become glorious in power. Well, I thought it was the water that destroyed them. When it said the right hand of God, who controls the wind? Who controls the water? The mighty hand of God. And the Bible tells us there, he had dashed in pieces the enemy. Why did he deliver that nation of Israel? Those people that were there. Well, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, and we'll let the Bible speak for that question. He says, for thou art a holy people to the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord didn't set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For indeed you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. And that he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath he brought you out with a mighty hand. That he would keep that oath. He had loved you. He'll bring you out with a mighty hand out of the house of bondmen. That because of the love that he had. But children of God, it was because of God's love that he had for us that he sent another mediator, like a new Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the house of bondmen, from the bonds of sin, the people were let go. Why? Because sin wanted to let them go? No, because God said let them go.
Right.
God delivered us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was sent, and God sent Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us over in Isaiah 40, at about verse 10, he says, behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and his reward is with him, and his work is before him. His work is before him. There was a work before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There was a work that set before him. John 4:34 says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And you don't finish a work unless the work's done started. The work's been started before the foundation of the world. The Lord's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Predestinated us into the adoption of children. All the legal work's been done. And now here's more of the legal work come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what? Purpose to redeem us out of the house of bondmen. And the Lord sends his son. If you turn to the Hebrew letter chapter 10 and verse 5, when he says, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
Amen.
Brother Rusty talked about the sacrifice. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. He says, in those sacrifices, he says, he had no pleasure therein. And then he says, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here's an offering, and it's once for all time.
Right.
Now, that was over and over back there, but here is once for all time. And every priest standeth daily ministering and often offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. He imagined all the blood that was shed in the Old Testament, the many animals that lost their lives, but not one drop of that blood could ever take away sin.
Amen.
Not one drop could ever take away sin. But then notice the contrast there in the 13th verse. But this man. Who is that man? There is one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus, Amen. The Lord. Just one mediator, not two, between God and men, and it's the man. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? Sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when by himself, having purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
Here he is at the right hand of the majesty on high. And do you know that's where he is today, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high? And he's not just up there twiddling his thumbs.
Right.
In the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 33, Paul asks this question. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again and seated at the right hand of God, making intercession. See, he's making intercession. Intercession. He's made intercession as far as eternity at the cross of Calvary as the mediator, but he's still making intercession. And every prayer that's been uttered here this day, it goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that mediator. He is ever making intercession for the saints. And he says it's according to the will of God. We know not what to pray for as we ought. He goes on to tell us there in the earlier verses of Romans chapter 8. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, and make intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
What an intercessor we have.
Right.
No wonder John would write in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Right.
I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin. Now that doesn't say that you're not going to sin.
Right.
In the sense that, well, you might not sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is just and faithful to cleanse us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. Humble yourself under this mighty hand of God, children of God. The Lord has sent his Son. He's seated at the right hand of God. You're risen with Christ, according to the 3rd chapter of Colossians in 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Mentions were made this morning about Jesus Christ reigning. Well, he is. We don't have to wait for the Lord to come back to start reigning. When he sat down, he began to reign. Over in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, he shall build the temple of the Lord, he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne, and he shall be a priest on his throne. He shall sit and rule on his throne. Well, when did he sit? When he sat down on the right hand of God, having purged our sins, he began to sit and to rule. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he became a priest.
That's right.
Upon his throne. That's why he tells us over in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, having therefore a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because we got the high priest. He would tell us there in Hebrews chapter 4, we have this high, and verse 14 and 15 and 16, we got this high priest that's passed into the heavens. Let us therefore hold fast our profession. Why? Because we got a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. The high priest, the great, not just the high priest, but the great high priest. And then he's saying that last verse of Hebrews 4, let us therefore, here's another good therefore, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Yes, Brother Bobby, when you read that therefore, you need to know why it was put in therefore. Right. It's a therefore. Let us therefore, why? You got this high priest that's passed into the heavens. He cannot be touched, which simply says he is touched, because he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Matter of fact, he is referred to as the mighty God, is one of his terminology in Isaiah chapter 9, isn't it?
Right.
He shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Jesus seated at the right hand of God, children of God. We read over in Isaiah 41 and 10, how's the Lord going to take care of us? His hand's not short. We read over in Isaiah 41 and 10, he says, fear thou not, neither be thou dismayed, for I am the Lord God. See, there's, like, that be of good comfort. That be of good cheer. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for I am God. Don't be dismayed, for I am with thee. I tell you what, I'm glad y'all folks would go with me. But you know, I'd rather the Lord go with me. I'd rather the Lord go with me. There's safety. Y'all might fail, but I know He won't. He says, for I am with thee. Don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Number one. Two, I will strengthen thee. Third, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. No wonder Paul would tell us, in 2 Timothy, Thavis chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. I pray God it might not be laid to their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And I tell you what, if the Lord stands with me, I'll make it through this sermon. But if He don't, I won't. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me, and that by my preaching it might be fully known, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord stood with him. All people forsook him. Well, that just goes with the territory, doesn't it? What did Jesus say? All the disciples forsook Jesus. Do you know that? We get down on Peter and criticize him for denying the Lord. Lord, I'll go with thee all the way unto death. And the Lord said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. But if you'll read the scripture, he says, likewise said all the disciples. They all said the same thing.
Yep.
But we just find the account of Peter verbally denying him three different times. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. And we probably would have done the same thing. But children of God, we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. The right hand of God become glorious in power in Exodus chapter 15, verse 6. And I tell you what, since God hadn't changed, His right hand is still able to come glorious in power. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Sarah, she laughed about it when she heard about that son that they was going to have. I said, I didn't laugh, but the Lord knows all about it. And He said, "Is nothing too hard? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Matter of fact, there's nothing hard for the Lord. Everything He does is easy. There's a lot of things I do is hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to read this Bible without going to sleep. I don't have to worry about the Lord going to sleep. All you got to do is turn to Psalms 121, and you see there, He neither slumbers nor sleep. Now let's turn to John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. In the hand of the Lord, nobody can pluck you out. Your own disobedience cannot pluck you out of the hand of the Lord. In Isaiah 49 and 15, he says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. And we have testimony of that in newspapers and on TV all the time. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I'll not forget thee, because thine are graven upon the palms of mine hands, and thy walls are continually before thee. Thine are graven on the palms of my hand. Now, he don't need the graving to remember it. But that makes it a word picture for us, so that we can see what they're graving. And when it's graven there, well, that means it's a permanent fixture. It's permanent fixture. You're engraving in the palms of mine hands. And nobody's able to pluck you out of that hand. I and my Father are one, Jesus said in John chapter 10. In the hand of the Lord. But he tells us, and also in Hebrews chapter 10, he says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Not out of. You don't have to worry about falling out of the hand. What we need to be concerned is not falling into the hand of the living God. Why? Because there's judgment. There's chastening when we fall into the hand of the living God. But even that, he tempers it with mercy. See, we don't cry for justice. We need that mercy.
Amen.
And I believe that's what he did to Israel, that he brought out of bondage. You know, many times he could have just zapped them.
Yep.
But he didn't. Why? He remembered that they were just flesh.
Right.
Find that in Isaiah, I believe. He had compassion upon them, and many times he just remembered that they were flesh. Let's see if I can find that right there. Quick. I said Isaiah, but I think it's Psalms. He just remembered. I'm glad he remembers that we're just flesh. Yes, Isaiah, Psalm 78. And verse 35 through verse 39. And they remembered their God and their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. And their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Notice this. But he, being full of compassion. Look what all they had forsaken him. He's full of compassion. And by the way, mercy and compassion are pretty much the same. He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. He turned his anger away and didn't stir up all his wrath. I tell you what, that would have been a terrible calamity. He just stirred up all his wrath. If the Lord stirred up all his wrath that we deserve today, it'd be a terrible calamity.
Right.
But he being full of compassion, and then verse 39, for he remembered that they were just flesh,
right,
a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Just a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Did you know that you're reckoned just like grass in the Scripture? The Bible tells us that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass witheth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And by the way, that's not this only rule of faith and practice. That is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
He liveth and he abideth forever. And it's that by which you're born again, according to 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. No wonder Peter would come here as we hasten our remarks to a close. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And he tells us that at the right hand of God there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 and 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's where Jesus came from. From the right hand of God. He came into this world. He fulfilled the will of God. Ascended back into heavens. As we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. He ascended back into the heavens. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen to go into heaven shall also come in a like manner as you've seen him go. He went up in a cloud, coming back with a cloud, went up in a shout, coming back with a shout. He went up with angels, he's coming back
right
with angels. just as he went away. And in the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 through the rest of the chapter, he says, "When he come and sitteth on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Before him be gathered all nations, even the wicked." Sometimes we wonder, you know, will they ever get their comeuppance? You know, they seem to prosper and do good, and the righteous suffer. Well, David wondered about this in Psalm 73. He seemed to be getting the worst of the lot, but not so. Psalm 73, "And behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. But me, I have I cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. All day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And if I speak, I will speak thus, behold, if I should offend against the children of my generation, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." And as I thought about this, it just brought too much pain, so we're not going to think about it. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God."
Right.
It was too painful to even think about. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then," he says, "I understood their end." What is their end? Well, we can get it here in Matthew chapter 25.
Right.
Then he says, "I understood their end." And then he brought some consolation when we know that he tells us there that he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and the sheep will be on the right hand. Why? Because that's where Jesus is.
Right.
The sheep will be on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then he shall say to those on his right hand, he says, "Come, blessed of my Father." And Ephesians 1:3 starts that all blessedness into existence. He says, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It's been prepared. How? By the mighty hand of God. "Prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And to those on the left, there's a different greeting. He says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Depart. Then I understood therein, David said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And we would have been among those that would be departing if it were not for what? This mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the extension of the mighty hand of God, as he tells us in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And who's that arm of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I know that, because the next verse says, "He shall grow up before him as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. We should desire him." "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then the righteous shall go into everlasting life. And then he says, the others into everlasting punishment. And just as the joys of the righteous are everlasting, so are the torment of the wicked from everlasting. No wonder then Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's a fullness of joy in the presence of the Most High God." And if you'll read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and down there about verse 6 or 7, he says, "And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the reason they don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is because they know not God.
Right.
The Lord hadn't made himself known. They know not God, nor obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be punished with everlasting destruction. He says, "Then you are troubled, rest with us." They were resting in that. That's something that we can rest in. That's something that will give us hope. A hope. I got a hope of something better than what I'll find in Randolph, Mississippi.
Right.
I love my home there. I love my wife and children and the family. But there's something better beyond that.
Right.
No wonder that they helped the Apostle Paul over there in 10th chapter of Hebrews in verse 34 when he said, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Why did they take joyfully the spoiling of their goods? Because they knew that in heaven they had a better and an enduring substance. And then he'd say, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. Yes, don't cast away that confidence. It's got great recompense or reward. But the reward is not a greater crown in glory. The reward is right here for you and I as obedient children of God. So humble yourself under this mighty hand of God. Humbleness is more than just saying up here, well, I'm worthless, I ain't no good, you know. It's a lifestyle.
Right. Right.
It's a lifestyle. It's a daily thing. We can just echo with Jacob of old in Genesis 32 and 10 when he says, I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.